Andrea Williams is with us, director of the organisation Christian Concern, and Dr. Andrew Cunning, who's director of Left Side Up. That's a progressive Christian organisation based here in Belfast. Two very different Christian responses to the question as well, because this isn't just, you know, Christians on one side of the debate and everybody else somewhere else. You know, it doesn't work that way. It's much more nuanced, much more complex, a set of questions. And Christians disagree about these issues too. Andrew, first, what do you make of what is happening in the Assembly today? And what do you think about the question of religious freedom and the necessity for it to be protected?
Hi, William. Thanks for having me on. Yes, this is an absolutely essential move, I think, by the Assembly, because the churches have not taken the lead on this, which I'm really disappointed about, because through Left Side Up, we have encountered and engaged with 150 people through our Faith and Mental Health project, in which we asked people about their mental health in relation to their faith. What we quickly discovered was that over a third of people wanted to talk about LGBT exclusion in their church, even though they weren't asked about it. So I think it's absolutely brilliant that the Assembly has taken this on. It has been made essential because there's been a bit of an abdication of responsibility by some religious leaders in Northern Ireland.
We couldn't persuade any mainstream church leaders to even talk to us about this issue, but they say they want to wait until the debate's over in the Assembly. But do you have any concerns at all, Andrew, about religious freedom, religious expression, if this motion were to be eventually translated into law?
No, I genuinely don't have any concerns, and I'm speaking as a Christian. If a minister did end up in court in that really unlikely event, something deeply harmful has gone on, in my opinion. And really, do we want the opposite, where ministers and church leaders are free to use conversion therapy and totally avoid the law? That's the real concern that we have. I think religious freedom is so important, speaking as a religious person, but if it comes into conflict with the rights, with the existence of minorities and vulnerable people, that's where it ends. Rights and responsibilities come into conflict all the time, and we have to make a value judgment. And in this case, I think just hearing the stories of people who have undergone conversion therapy, mm-hmm. we listen to them.
And what's the worst story you heard?
We have heard stories of exorcisms going on in Northern Ireland in the last 5 to 10 years. We have heard of people being sent off on retreats. But actually, for me, the most insidious thing that we've heard is the subtle practice of conversion therapy in which people are recommended to be celibate. Now, a lot of people will say, well, that's their choice. That is the young person. And it tends to be young people who are put through conversion therapy. Mm. It's the young person's choice to seek guidance. But we have to pause and reflect on why that person is seeking that kind of support. Is that a genuine free choice when you're in a hostile environment for LGBT people, which the church in many cases has become?
Andrew Williams, do you have concerns about religious freedom with this motion in the Assembly today?
Absolutely, I have concerns about religious freedom, but also, of course, what we've seen in recent years, in the past decade, and indeed what we've seen with someone like Mike Davidson, who runs Core Issues Trust, is that therapists like him are actually
He's not a therapist. He was expelled. He was expelled by a professional body whilst in training for unethical behaviour, wasn't he? He was expelled.
Well, what you see there is exactly he was expelled, and a number of others. That
yes, but he's not a recognised therapist. Just to be clear, he's not a therapist.
He is very well practiced in therapy. He's seen along with others, along with a whole raft of people across the International Federation for Therapeutic Choice and Counselling. Hundreds of professionals have come together.
So, Andrea,
who actually can we just be clear
about that? He was expelled.
And this is what I'm going to say. There is that is exactly what we're seeing. People who actually are very well qualified in this area are people who are currently being expelled from professional bodies. Also, somebody like Leslie Pilkington, a therapist over many decades. There was a hit on her. Her professional body did not stand with her. So the professional
bodies concluded that what they were doing was unethical. Right?
The professional bodies, people that want, who come to therapists looking to change unwanted behaviours, voluntarily seeking to do that, that is something that they should be free to explore and free to choose to do. No one is coercing them to do so. To wholesale ban that from a whole professional practice, which has already occurred now. It's occurred by way of the memorandum of understanding. Yeah. It's occurred by way of policy. Where that then leads, this idea...
What about the association of... What about the association idea, of the Christian counsellors?
They too have signed up to that memorandum.
So the association of Christian counsellors...
What is very tragic
banned,
about
also
that is
banned
that a number,
this purported what, therapy. What, and well, they expel course, people who engage in it. And those
of
are
course,
Christians.
What's very of course, what's very disappointing there is there's... What is... The term conversion therapy is never very well defined.
Sure.
It's a moving term. It's been a moving. It's an ideological term, and the term that's been imposed upon the profession. It's a term that is being is now being debated.
Yeah.
In your parliament, it's being debated in a way where no one actually has a clear understanding of what
well,
that
you need
term.
To, if it
really,
became legislation, this is only a motion at this point, of course, Andrew.
Yes, no, no. But
if it became legislation,
being,
they would need to actually spell
but
it out. They, as
but,
you
but
say,
no one
they?
Can. No one yeah. has. We've been debating.
Well, it has been banned in some jurisdictions, so they must have done.
Well, even in this discussion, we're not absolutely clear what that is. You know, some of the
well, can I ground this because we're talking about
earlier,
two different things at once here.
You are
actually defending something the DUP says they are opposed to, which is so-called therapies which attempt to change someone's sexuality. The DUP tell us they're against that. In fact, all the political parties that I can see in the Assembly
Again,
are against
no
that.
Again, there's no definition. What
yeah,
is that
but
therapy?
I'm just telling you. What you're describing in terms of a purported therapy, they're agreed that should be banned. The issue for our Assembly today with this amendment is just how much freedom churches and other faith groups should have around responses to people who are LGBTQ. And you've had Andrew Cunning there giving the example of exorcisms. You've got examples of people who might go to a pastor, Andrea, and say, I have this sexual identity, I'm gay. And the pastor will tell them, perhaps, that they are possessed or oppressed by a demon and that they need to be delivered from the demon of homosexuality. And we've had examples, reports, of people have shared their experiences of people laying hands on them, in some cases holding them down, while they try to remove the demon of homosexuality from them in a religious context. Do you think that should be banned?
What is the message of Christianity? The message of Christianity
is that no, please.
William, you've not been permitting me to finish my sentences, so I'm just going to
That's because when I ask you questions, you're going somewhere else. I'm asking you really a direct question there about
I'm going to say something very clear about what the Bible says. The Bible says this, that we have all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible also says about sexual sin that all sexual expression, all of it, outside of one man and one woman marriage, so that's a very high bar, all sexual expression, all sexual activity outside of one man, one woman marriage is contrary to the purposes of God. So, and that we are to fix our eyes upon Jesus Christ.
I was asking you a question about exorcism and deliverance ministry, not the traditional understanding of marriage.
Yes.
I understand that view.
But that's very important.
But do you think exorcism should be banned when it comes to sexual orientation? What I just described there. Should that be permissible?
People should be free to go to the churches of their choice, the denominations of their choice, and speak with ministers and leaders within those contexts. And if they want to move away from sin, from what the Bible describes as sin, then within the context of their particular denomination, they
even
need to
be free
to speak.
Even if that means the pastor and others holding them down and laying on
the
hands
ministers.
And trying to deliver a demon from them.
Of course, nobody should be forcibly held down, and no church minister that I've ever come across in all my long years would believe in forcibly holding down people against their will.
So as long as they're with being exercised, that's fine.
There is a reality that people go and speak with ministers, people go and speak with pastors, and they should be free to talk about those things,
of course,
all sin. And within that context, they should be free to.
Okay, well, that's a good test case. Let's put it to Andrew. Just how much religious freedom are you going to support here, Andrew? What about one of these churches where they do believe that homosexuality is the result of demonic activity in someone's life, which is a very offensive idea to very many people? But there are some churches that teach it. Do you think they should have the freedom to practice that belief in terms of exorcism? Or do you want to ban that?
We want to ban that, absolutely.
You want to ban that?
We want to ban the practice of exorcisms in 2021. I don't think that's a controversial stance to take. And I think...
Well, it would be controversial in many churches to have the law banning what a particular religious tradition teaches. I mean, it's dangerous territory when you get into that, isn't it?
It totally is dangerous territory. It was dangerous to ban slavery as well, but we've done that, and that is good. And I don't think many evangelicals want to return to slavery.
How far do you go with this, Andrew? There, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses teach that blood transfusions should not be received. Do you want to ban that teaching?
Well, I'm part of the campaign to ban conversion therapy, so I can come on if that's a separate issue at another time.
Well, it goes to the principle, doesn't it?
Yes, and we're always going to be in tension here between... This debate is often framed as a secular ban on religious freedom. And as Owen Tennyson rightly said right at the top of the show, this is not the case. There are so many LGBT Christians, LGBT allied Christians who are with us on this. And I think we need to amplify their voices in this. This is not a ban on religious freedom. It's a check. It's a check on religious freedom. When religious freedom comes into conflict with doing serious harm to people, we have to step in if churches aren't prepared to. And what you'll often hear from evangelical groups is, the biblical view says, and at that point I switch off because there is no biblical view. There are biblical views, and as a progressive Christian,
there is a biblical view on, and it's a very high one, as I've said. It is that all sexual practice outside of marriage between one man and one woman is contrary to the purposes of God. That's absolutely clear. So to say that it isn't, to deny that is to deny the Bible. So to deny the biblical teaching. So there's not a point to switch off because we have to, as Christians who want to work out their faith in the public space and to speak truth, if you call yourself a Christian, then you do have to grapple with that truth that's found in the Bible. Yeah. And to deny it in this way, it's disingenuous. It's
wrong. And it has been historically, Andrew, for many hundreds of years,
terms.
Traditional
it's
Christian
the
teaching.
Of terms to
so the question really, the question I have for you, Andrew, really is, the principle by which you would be okay as a person of faith with the state getting involved through legislation in telling religious groups what they're allowed to say, what they're allowed to think, what they're allowed to do. Because in most liberal democracies, that is a very sensitive area for the state to get involved in, isn't it?
Yeah, we're absolutely aware this is a very sensitive issue. And no legislation has been drafted. This is just a motion to get to sense where we're at politically.
Sure.
But I say it again that if churches are not prepared to lead on this, and they still have an opportunity to, it's not gone. They can lead on this. And I think through our work through Left Side Up, we have a majority of the average person in the pews. They do not want to see conversion therapy practiced in their church. And if the facts were laid out for them of the effects of conversion therapy, there is no doubt in my mind...
They don't know what conversion therapy is. No one does. No one can determine it. No one's given a definition of it. It's an ideological term. In order to push out this voice of what Christianity actually says about sexual purity, it's loaded so that those people that want to come and access help to move away from any sexual behaviours.
Help from what?
That they're not
help
happy
from
with.
What? Indeed, what do they need help with?
Well, many people want to move away from things that are not making them happy, from behaviours that don't make them happy.
And why do you think it doesn't make them happy, Andrea?
If you actually just again have to go to the records, it's all over the internet of X Out Loud, International Federation for Counselling and Therapeutic Choice. Go and look at those websites and hear all the stories. Now there are hundreds of them. Of men and women who've moved away from their homosexual past and feel free, wonderfully set free.